I'm going to actually dovetail some of what the kids went over in the Vacation Bible School. In fact, this is a bit of a prequel, but first, I want to just read part of the scripture, and part of this was one of the lessons, and it's from Romans 8, 28 through 39, a great promise that Paul wrote the church through the Holy Spirit. Listen to these words. "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God is with us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but graciously gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. May God bless His word to our hearts and minds this morning. So this morning I want to think about the story before this story, the story before Paul was in prison and what got him there. And I want to think about Paul in the teeth of a storm. And I know many times we're in a storm, but first I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this little church in the suburbs suddenly stopped buying pencils from its regular office supply dealer. And so the dealer telephoned Deacon Brown and asked him what was wrong. And I'll tell you what, Deacon Brown said, "Our church ordered some pencils from you to be used in the pews to register visitors." And, well, the dealer interrupted, "Well, didn't you get the pencils?" And Deacon Brown said, "Yes, we did receive the pencils, but they were golf pencils, and each one had stamped on them, 'Play golf next Sunday.'" But hopefully, I know a lot of people are on vacation, but hopefully not golfing during Sunday. But anyway, this was just a great week with Vacation Bible School, and we looked at Paul in prison. And you know, prison was a reality for Paul and many of the early Christians. Prison is, in fact, a reality for some of the people who witness their faith throughout the world today. And sometimes we forget that. It was good to have Jude here to share about the faith in Sri Lanka. We think about other places as well. And so we looked at Paul in prison. He was under house arrest, and he continued to share God's word even though he was in prison. In fact, he shared the news of God's love, and he had a powerful witness in prison. And this morning, I want to just look at the prequel. You know, sometimes they come out with they started in the middle of Star Wars, and then they backed it up, and they thought that was the most popular, and then we get the story before the story. So this morning, I want to think about what landed Paul in prison. If you want to follow along with that story, you can look at Acts chapter 27 and Acts chapter 28, and it's a beautiful ending to the book of Acts, which leads into all the letters that Paul wrote. And so I invite us this morning to go on a trip, and I want you to think about three images: the dream, the storm, and the prison. And so let's get started on this journey. We'll move right along. And the first thing is the dream. You know, Paul had a dream, and I don't know if you had a dream, but Paul's dream was a powerful dream, and it was a dream that honored God. And Paul's dream was to share the message of the love of God's love for others and his death in Christ on the cross. We can know forgiveness and God's grace and the power of the resurrection to the people of Rome. In fact, Paul not only wanted to share that to the people of Rome, he wanted to witness before Caesar himself. And he wanted to do that even though he knew the Roman emperor might take his life, and indeed, in fact, did have Paul executed. But that's quite a dream if you think about it. I mean, that's an amazing dream, isn't it? And how did Paul get that dream? Well, I think it was because Paul's life himself was changed in a powerful way. And if we recall about Paul's life, I mean, Paul didn't start out as a preacher. Paul started out as one who was persecuting Christians. In fact, he was the one who held the robes of those who killed the first martyr of the Christian faith, Stephen. You can read that early in the book of Acts. In fact, he took letters, and he was going to Jerusalem and other places to have Christians thrown in jail, and in some cases even executed and sentenced to death. And so Paul had this great dream, because his life was changed. And he knew those truths, some of those truths that we talked about this morning that the kids shared. And I love to hear the kids share those. And so Paul knew that God's gift was a gift of love. And that's a tremendous gift. And Paul knew that God's love saves us and God's love changes our life. Paul's life had been changed dramatically. He said many people had written Paul off. And it reminds us that we should never write anyone off. God's love can change anyone. I mean, Paul was one who was persecuting Christians, sentencing them to death, and God didn't give up on Paul. And maybe there's a person in your life you think, well, God could never change that person's life. Don't give up on that person. Know that God can change any person's love that's powerful. And maybe that was one of the reasons that Paul wanted to go to Rome. Because a lot of people had written Rome off as a city and the Roman Empire and everything else. And certainly people had written off Caesar, but Paul did not write off Rome. And Paul did not even write off Caesar. He wanted to be motivated to go and share that love with him. And so when we pick up the story, we realize that Paul had a dream that was a powerful dream. And I just want to ask you this morning, do you have a dream? Do you have a dream that uses your gifts and talents in a way that shares God's love to serve other people, whether it's here or halfway across the country or halfway around the world? You know, God can use us in a powerful way. And so I challenge us, like Paul, to have a dream. The next thing is the image of a storm. And so if you look at Acts chapter 27, Paul is finally headed to Rome. And Paul's had a great mission life. He's traveled around the Roman Empire. He's planted churches. He's been thrown in prison other times. He's been beaten almost to death a number of times. He's had an incredible life and an incredible amount of persecution that he went through. And he's finally realizing his dream. And so he's sentenced to go to Rome to appeal before Caesar because he has the privilege of being a Roman citizen, of being able to do that. And so Paul is given his own soldier by the name of Julius. So Julius was apparently from Caesarea. And they boarded a ship, and the ship is bound for ports along the coast of Asia. And they landed in Sidon, and then they began to pick up some winds. In fact, the winds were so bad, we're told that they sailed on the leeward side of Cyprus. Now, if you're a sailor, you know that that's one of the strategies you use to sail. If you get a lot of winds, you want to sail on the leeward side, which is the downwind side of something, and that allows you to sail better. And the winds kept sort of picking up, and finally they landed in a place called Fairhaven, which means fair haven. It's good, a good port, right? And so they landed in Fairhaven. They were behind schedule some. And the winter season was beginning to pick up, but the captain decided what he needed to do was go ahead and to sail. After all, he had a prisoner on board that was supposed to go to Rome and even appear before Caesar himself. And Paul hears from the Holy Spirit, and Paul gives a word. And this is what Paul says in Acts chapter 27, verses 10 and following. Listen to what Paul says. He says, "Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo in the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul had to say. And because the harbor was not suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete facing both southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. Now, I don't know if you know many ship captains. There's not a lot of them in Indiana. But if you know any ship captains, you probably know they don't like taking advice from a prisoner. And from a prisoner that's a tent maker knows nothing about sailing. And this ship captain was no exception. And so he decided that he was going to divine the season himself. And he looked out and it looked like a fair weather like today. And he said, "I think we're going to go ahead and sail. We're going to not be put behind. And I've got a pastor that needs to go to Rome. I've got cargo. I've got soldiers. I've got sailors. I need to press on." And so that's exactly what he did. And you know, in our own lives, sometimes we don't really follow the leading of the Spirit, do we? I mean, we would rather look at our own senses. And God wants us to use our mind, our intelligence, our wisdom. But there's times when the Spirit is leading and we need to listen to the Spirit. Sometimes that's the voice directly to us, and sometimes that's the wisdom of another brother and sister in Christ. But this reminds us that it's important to listen to the guidance of the Spirit. And so there's Paul. He knows that there's danger ahead, and I wonder what Paul felt like. He's headed to Rome not as a preacher, but as a prisoner. Not as a preacher, but as a prisoner. And maybe he felt like Joseph, who was supposed to one day ascend to a very high power, yet he found himself in prison. Maybe Paul reminded himself of that and the hope that we have. And in our own life, you know, sometimes we might not be in prison, though some people have been in prison and found amazing moments of faith in prison. But sometimes we do face trouble and transition. And our trouble might be the face of an illness, and maybe it's facing financial difficulty or relation difficulties, and sometimes we're in transition. And transition is a really nice word for trouble, isn't it? Have you ever been in transition? Anyone, you know, transition, it's just maybe we're between jobs or there's other things that are going on in our life and we're between here and there and it's really trouble in other form, but it's a storm in some other way. And so this storm comes upon Paul. He's on his way to Rome and Paul had this hope that guided his life like the North Star. Here's what it says, what he writes in Romans 12:12, and I think it's a beautiful promise. He said, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer." And if you want something to put on your refrigerator or maybe your mirror in the morning, that's a great verse. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. Well, the journey began well in fair weather, but pretty soon it says that they hit a nor'easter, which is one of the most powerful storms that you can encounter with hurricane force winds. And that's a quote from the book of Acts. And so it was a powerful nor'easter. It began to push the boat, and the boat was in an incredible storm, being rocked to and fro. And in fact, they had to give up even the storm sail, which is like the small sail. So if you're in a storm, you can't use the big sail, because then you'll be in really a lot of trouble. And so they used a little storm sail. That wasn't working. And so it says they just used the rudder and tried to guide the ship. And in fact, it got so bad in this storm that the lifeboat, which usually is behind the boat, they had to bring that aboard, and things were getting so bad that the sailors, now this is a boat that was carrying approximately 275 people, so this boat is at least probably almost the size of this sanctuary turned upside down. This is a big boat that's being rocked to and fro, maybe not quite that big, but it's pretty big. And so the sailors were so afraid, these are seasoned sailors, that it says they took ropes that were on board, threw them over the bow of the boat, allowed that rope to sort of be pushed by the waves, and then they tied them together. So they're tying ropes around the whole ship structure, the bulwark of the ship, in order to keep it together. And they were even afraid then, and so it says they threw sea anchors over the back to slow the stern of the boat down and to just let the boat run. Now, if you're a sailor and you know much about sailing, or if you don't, you probably know that you want to keep a boat headed into the waves, if at all possible. If not directly into the waves, then a quarter or at the most a half into the waves. And that's the way you want to run a storm. If everything is really, really bad and you're not going to make it through the waves, then you turn around on the right wave, in between waves or on the top of a wave, and then you run the boat and hope the boat isn't swamped with a wave from behind. But the last thing you ever want to happen in a boat is have it turn sideways. And so they're worried about the boat turning sideways. It's an incredible storm. And so they throw up these sea anchors, which sort of pull the stern back and allow the boat to run and hopefully not be swamped. And it says in the scripture that they became so much in the teeth of the storm that for 3 days they didn't see the sun or the moon or the stars, and they didn't even know what was going. Now that's a serious, serious storm. And then Paul says this in Acts 27, verse 21. Paul said, "Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, 'Men, you should have listened to me and not set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship.'" Good news, bad news. The ship's going down, but we're going to be okay. "For this very night, there stood among me an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And the angel said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that he will be exactly as I have told. But we must run aground on some island.'" So on the 14th day of the storm, you can imagine this, these sailors are weary. You can only imagine a storm that lasts for 14 days. It says they were driven across the Adriatic Sea. And all of a sudden, after the 14th day, just after Paul said that, they had the sense that the water was beginning to shallow. So the waves are kind of breaking a little bit differently. These are seasoned sailors. They know it's changing the landscape underneath. And they began to take soundings. So they threw ropes with anchors overboard to see how deep it was. And indeed, they found that it was getting more and more shallow. Now, in a storm, in a boat, that's again good news and bad news. It's good news because hopefully there's land ahead, and you've prayed for land. You've wished and dreamed and prayed for land, and it's also bad news because it can mean with the power and the force of a storm and a boat of that size that it's going to hit rocks and be slammed in and blown into just nothing but debris. And so it says this, "Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight." That's a quote from Scripture. So you drop four anchors. That's all you've got over the back end, the stern of the boat, and you pray for daylight. Now, seasoned sailors. And in fact, at one point, it was so bad that some of the sailors were sneaking the lifeboat and were going to throw it overboard. And Paul said, if you use the lifeboat, you'll be smashed to pieces and killed. And the soldiers intervened and threw the lifeboat over with no one in it. And so then Paul says this. He says, the ship is about to be lost. Once again, Paul brings good news and bad news. He says, the ship is about to be lost, but you will live. So take some food and eat. You haven't eaten in 14 days. And Paul sets the example. So Paul blesses the food, and he begins to eat. You talk about being cool in the teeth of the storm. And so he encourages others to eat. And then it says this in Acts 27:39. Now when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a beach on which they planned, if possible, to run the ship ashore. So they knew they couldn't make a safe landing and dock, but they knew they could just run it ashore. So they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea. In other words, they cut them off. And at the same time, loosening the ropes and the rudders and tie the rudders. That was the only way they could control them. Then hoisted the foresail and began to make for it. And then they run aground in a reef. And the bow became immovable, it says, and the stern began to be broken up by the surf. So you can imagine this huge boat is ramming its bow, the front end, into the reefs, and then these massive waves are taking the stern, the back of the boat, up and down and smashing them into the reefs. Now that's not a good thing. This is a massive boat. And so people begin to swim, and everyone, Paul said, listen, you need to carry out this plan and grab whatever you can, pieces of the boat, and then swim for shore. And they all made it to shore, and it ended up being the island of Malta, which we know today. And they all got to shore, and they were all alive, and it was an amazing moment. And then they put some wood together, and they began to build a fire. And then Paul got bit by a snake. Now, you can imagine. So you've made it through all this storm, all this. Paul gets bitten by a snake, and then they think that Paul is a bad guy. And then Paul lives, and then they think Paul is a really good guy. And so Paul, through it all, remained calm. And it turns out they found rest in a Roman citizen's house by the name of Publius, whose father was sick. And Paul ended up praying for his father. His father was healed, and all of a sudden people from all over the island began to come to Paul and bring the sick, and they listened to the good news of the gospel. And I think part of the story is this, in this moment, you know, sometimes we have a dream, but we get sidetracked. And we get sidetracked because of a couple of things. One is that God is molding us and making us stronger so that we can accomplish that dream. This dream of preaching the good news of the gospel in the Roman Empire wasn't an easy thing. And to face Caesar, who had the power to take his life, was not an easy thing. But, you know, it's also the case that this was a ministry moment. Paul was able to witness to the people in Malta because God didn't just care about the people in Rome or Jerusalem. God also cared about the people in Malta. And so Paul witnesses in Malta and spent 3 months there. And I imagine that it was an incredible, fruitful ministry. And so there's a dream and there's a storm. And I just want you to take for a moment and think about the storms that you're facing. And sometimes we just think they're a distraction. We want to get on to the dream and realize this, that God also molds our lives through the storms that we face. And in those storms, many times there's a ministry moment that God is trying to use us. So look around. The people need to know about God's love. Know that God loves them, God cares about them, and God can change their life. And so there's a dream, and there's a storm, and finally there is a prison. So after 3 months at Malta, and Paul is preaching and teaching, finding a fruitful ministry, the winter winds and weather subsided, and they found a boat that was going to a safe harbor where Paul could also get a connection along with a soldier that was constantly at his side, whom I imagine that Paul was witnessing to this whole time. And Paul finally made his way to Rome, and he realized his dream. And you think about that for a moment, and I wonder what that soldier, Julius, felt like during all that time with Paul. I mean, maybe that was one of the ministry moments that Paul had. This person that he was almost chained to really saw Paul in all the difficulties of life, not just the good times. And so Paul arrives in Rome, and there he has an opportunity, because he's under house arrest now, to share the gospel with Jews and Gentiles alike who came to visit him. And that was one of the things that we sort of reenacted, saw the kids reenact this weekend as the youth portrayed this. And so Paul shares his faith, encourages them. But Paul also has an opportunity to share his faith with the soldiers who are chained to Paul. I mean, Paul really didn't look like he was chained to the soldiers. Paul thought the soldiers were chained to him. He talked about a captive audience. And Scripture tells us that a number of those soldiers, even immediate to Caesar, accepted Christ as Savior and Lord, and their lives were dramatically changed. And when Paul was in prison, something else happened. I mean, maybe Paul was always so busy, he never slowed down enough, and Paul wrote his letters really almost solely from prison. And so we have letters from prison today that are words of encouragement, along with a promise that we read this morning. But then one day, a few years from then, in this time in prison, which Paul was making a fruitful ministry, Paul did stand before Caesar, the Roman Empire. Paul did share his faith with Caesar, and because of the faith that he shared and defended, he was also sentenced to death. But Paul willingly went as a martyr of the Christian faith. We don't know what happened to Caesar, but we know that many people throughout the Roman Empire were changed forever. We know the church grew in this time of persecution in a powerful way, and so God's love is always with us. I think Paul knew that truth before, but Paul knew it in a different way when he was in the prison because of the storm that he went through. And so in our own lives, think about the dreams that you have. Think about the storms that you face, and think about the prison sometimes that seems like the worst place, but might be the place that God is using you. Paul had a dream to share the gospel in an incredible place that people had written off, to a Roman Empire that people had written off. We know that Paul changed a lot of people through the Holy Spirit. Paul went through a storm that ended in a shipwreck, and God used that to share with the people that never would have heard the gospel otherwise, and molded Paul in a way that Paul probably never would have become the stronger person of faith that he had through that storm. And then finally, God used him in prison. God used him in prison to share the message of the gospel to people who came. He was allowed to be in a home prison, in a house prison, and allowed to have visitors. And Paul also witnessed to the guards that were chained to him. And finally, Paul wrote letters, and Paul used that time, and Paul accomplished the dream that God had put before him. And one of the promises that Paul wrote was this, and I want to read it again, and I hope that you will take this promise to heart. Paul wrote, and God's Holy Spirit brings to us these words, and we know that for those who love God, all things work for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called, and those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. An incredible promise, and Paul knew that for a fact. Do you have a dream this morning that honors God and serves others? Are you in the teeth of the storm? Know that God uses that. And are you sometimes in a prison? In all these things, we can find ministry moments to glorify God and serve others. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we think about the incredible promises that you made known to the great apostle Paul. And you made known these great promises through the storms of life and through the prisons and difficulties, and from it came a dream. And a dream was accomplished only after going through incredible adversity and difficulty and challenge. But in all these moments, there were ministry moments. There were moments that you sustained Paul and he shared your word. Lord, help us to learn these truths. And help us to have dreams that honor you and serve others. Help us through faith in Christ to be able to face the storms of life, knowing you are with us always. Help us to know, even in times when we feel like we are almost in prison, that you are at work in a powerful way. In all these things, may we find the ministry moments and lean into your grace. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.